This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. When the former president and CEO of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation pitched the idea for a book about Cincinnati's artist, there was just one catch. ArtsWave CEO and president Alicia Kentner wanted that book to be all about women. Now, there have been many men who have made amazing contributions to Cincinnati's arts community. But ArtsWave was in the middle of an 18-month campaign, The Power of Her, which celebrates the achievements of women in art. And it also coincided with the centennial of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. I spoke earlier with the author of Imagineers, Impresarios, Inventors, Cincinnati's Arts, and The Power of Her. And joining us now is Kathy Merchant, the author of Imagineers, Impresarios, Inventors, Cincinnati's Arts, and The Power of Her. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I know you're very much familiar with Cincinnati. You spent 18 years as president and chief executive officer of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. But this particular book was inspired by another city. Am I right about that?
You are right about that. New Haven, Connecticut.
Well, tell us what went down in New Haven, Connecticut.
Well, I actually lived in New Haven for 20 years before I moved to Cincinnati to take over the Greater Cincinnati Foundation, as you mentioned, as CEO. And I was back visiting a friend, actually helping with some shoulder surgery recovery. And on an afternoon where I had nothing to do, walked around her house and picked up this beautiful book. And it was a book about the people, men and women in New Haven, who had really contributed to that city's cultural vibrancy. So I was a couple pages in and I'm like, you know what? I know these people and I know who they are. But now I know everybody in Cincinnati and New Haven, you've got nothing on us.
Well, it's a true statement because Cincinnati, I usually will say it punches above its weight in terms of the arts offerings that it has here. All of the major cultural institutions that are more becoming of a city much larger than Cincinnati. And it's really good here. And based on the book that you've written, Imagineers, Impresarios, Inventors, Cincinnati's Arts and the Power of Her, we stand on the shoulders of giants, and a lot of those giants are women.
They are indeed.
Okay, so you set out to write this book. You originally wanted to profile 100 women to align with the centennial of women's suffrage, I believe. And it turns out you ended up with more than that.
Yes, it proved to be impossible to narrow the list of women to 100. I mean, we originally had that idea because it was alliterative with the centennial of the passage of the 19th Amendment. And we're still very much happy to be able to share the spotlight of women's leadership with that very important moment in our history. But we invited the public to nominate women, and we got over 200 nominations. And even with that, we knew that we were missing some of the, let's say, more diverse women from the 1800s because people don't know about them necessarily. And then we were missing some of the newer arts leaders from the 21st century because they aren't yet as well known. So we dug in a little bit to identify those people and ultimately had way more than 200 people. And with Alicia Kintner's advice, the very supportive leader of ArtsWave and of this book project, we decided that we would take, as she called it, an organic approach and ended up being able to fit the descriptions, the stories, and then some of the names of nearly 200 women in a set of 120 profiles or stories. Very cleverly done, if I do say so myself, to cheat on the numbers. But it became confusing to report on that. But examples would be sidebars included in a story about the dozen women who helped to found the Women's Art Museum Association. And then we didn't mention all 230 women who joined the founders as members, but it was groups like that. It was the collaboration by these women that really caused our major arts institutions to come to be. And in some cases, and I don't know why this is especially cool to me, maybe nobody else cares, but a few of these women took on those leadership roles in their 50s. Now, in the 1800s, when you were in your 50s, that was old. It's not so old now, but it was then. And it's just so impressive that these women galvanized the community and galvanized other women and galvanized men to get our enduring institution started, because 35 of them have been started over a period of more than 150 years, and they are all in business. And as a community, we really need to be super proud of that.
And we're talking with Kathy Merchant, author of Imagineers, Impresarios, Inventors, Cincinnati's Arts and the Power of Her. This is a new book that explores the lives of many women who have shaped Cincinnati's cultural heritage and its associated institutions. And going through this book, Kathy, we do see a lot of names from throughout history, a lot of the names that people are familiar with just in general, like Rosemary Clooney, Patricia Corbett, Ruth Lyons, and then, of course, some people who are still hard at work in the cultural scene today. Of the people that you profiled in this book, who do you think that people will be most surprised to learn about for the first time?
Well, I'm guessing that of the legacy women that are in the very first chapter, and these are women who might have been associated with an organization or two, but often many. So they may not ever have heard of them because they died more than 100 years ago. So, for example, Loretta Mangrum, who graduated, the first Black woman to graduate from the College Conservatory of Music. And maybe some people, speaking of that organization, might know that an aunt and her niece, so Bertha and Clara Bauer, were the founders of the organization as if it were a private conservatory before it became part of the University of Cincinnati. I've lived here for 23 years, and I'm embarrassed to say I didn't actually know that fact. And so those are fun facts. Another couple of poignant stories. One is Alice Weston, who died just less than a year ago. She actually passed away on the very day that we were having our luncheon to announce the women in the book. She came to the luncheon. She was with her daughters and her partner, and they were happy and having fun. And she passed away that very afternoon. So I want people to take that delicious memory with them, that she was so happy and so grateful to be in the book, even though, I mean, there's an art gallery that bears her name and the name of her former husband, Harris Weston, that's attached to the Aronoff Theater. How many times have you walked by that theater maybe and not noticed that name? So there's just now, when you meet and greet these women and correctly associate them with the great things and the great institutions that they were part of in the past, I just hope everybody will just take a pause and just be grateful for their hard work.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I didn't know that about Alice Weston's passing, that she attended your luncheon and passed away almost moments after.
Yes, it's a sad story, but a happy story at the same time.
Well, we have names like Weston or Corbett and Lyons, names that are very familiar to people locally. Louise Nippert is another one, certainly. But there are also names that are associated with Cincinnati in a larger scale. We've got Nikki Giovanni, Harriet Beecher Stowe in here. Talk a little bit about some of those giants who rose to national prominence.
Well, and there are other ones like Carolyn Maslumi is a fabulous quilter, and her work is displayed prominently in the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. People may not know that those are her quilts, and she lives in Westchester. I mean, she's a Cincinnati resident, so there are just people like her who perhaps aren't as visible. I encourage everybody to take a visit over to the Freedom Center. In the 21st century founders, I really love this group of women. They're dancers, they're musicians. For example, I'm looking at some of their pretty pictures right now. Sandra Vasquez and Raquel Guillen from Cincinnati Baila. I mean, they're teaching all these wonderful regional Spanish dances, not from Spain, but from South America and Mexico and all the Spanish-speaking countries. And their costumes are simply gorgeous. There are pictures of their costuming that are in the book, so you can just enjoy the photos. Diane Dunkelman may be a name that's very well known because Diane has been an entrepreneur, a social entrepreneur, numerous times, but she started Clever Crazes for Kids. I always have to like pause on the alliteration of Clever Crazes for Kids, but that is a very durable organization. Ixi Chen, who plays the saxophone for the symphony and started Concert Nova. Jean-Mame Luft, who started a dance company. Siri Imani, who's the woman who has started the youngest organization in the book, but she's a spoken word poet and does just some phenomenal things that are, they just spring from her. I don't know how she does that. It's pretty amazing. And then I want to mention one story that anybody who decides to buy this book, and I hope they will, and read the book, go to the very last page, because that is a story of Kathy Y. Wilson, who has written for City Beat and lots of other things. She was given the Sachs Prize by ArtsWave, and Kathy actually wrote 5 of the stories that are in the book. But so she's a featured woman and one of 3 who were also writers, the other 2 being Janelle Gelfand and Mary Stageman. But Kathy's sister, Devon Parrish, wrote her story. And if that story doesn't make you cry, you don't have a heart.
Well, I have read it. It is good. And I hope that others will as well. Before we let you go, Kathy, let me ask you this. You have so many names of women who helped build Cincinnati's cultural heritage and its present. And this is a mid-tier major city in America with upper tier cultural offerings. And I'm curious, based on your knowledge of the community and the work that you've done on this book, why is that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that one good answer for that is that the women who built our major organizations in the 1800s into the 1900s made sure that they created sturdy, vibrant organizations that could withstand the test of time. And I wanted to tell a funny aside, because, you know, we don't have 100% proof that we have more and better than everybody else. We believe that because sure. We live here. But I have one proof point for you. I did some research on the founding of some organizations in New York City, our arch rival, but not really. It's everybody's arch rival. And I found that our art museum and the Art Academy of Cincinnati were both founded decades before the first women's arts organization in New York. It was initially called the Women's Art Club of New York, and now it's called the National Women's Art Association, something like that. I think I've got the words backwards. But our organizations were started before theirs. And so the Queen City of the Midwest, actually have the claim to fame, as far as I can tell. And I really want to research this more, but based on what I know, we have the claim to fame of being first.
The book is called Imagineers, Impresarios, Inventors, Cincinnati's Arts and the Power of Her. The author is Kathy Merchant. Kathy, thank you so much for sharing some time with us.
Thank you. And I want to thank ArtsWave as well for being the book sponsor.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.